Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane, and Doctor, our listeners know from tuning on the news each night, or even what we're all hearing around the water coolers at work, when you look at it from a lot of different angles, America is clearly on the wrong track.
Well, I am very concerned about that, Luann, and we've talked about it here on the broadcast, whether it's the economy or attempts to redefine marriage or just the massive moral decline that we see happening in this beloved country of ours, the news can be downright dismal. But there's also some good news to be heard on a topic that's very dear to my heart personally and is very important to the work that we're trying to do here at Family Talk.
It'd be good to hear some good news, Doctor.
Over the past 6 to 7 months or so, we've seen a massive influx of legislation around the country on the state level that supports the rights of the unborn child in a way that I would not have anticipated 2 or 3 years ago. And some of the reason for that has to do with the results of the last midterm election.
You mean elections have consequences?
They absolutely do. And I wish every one of our listeners and all people of faith out there would awaken to that effect. Because it does matter who you vote for, and it does matter who is in power. And we're seeing things change just in a dramatic way as a result of the fact that many people came to the polls to defend the unborn child and to lessen the size of government and all the other things that took place in November of 2010. It's how our system was designed, and it is working. It puts power in the hands of the people. And to help us uncover some of these pro-life gains that I was talking about, we've invited a pro-life leader to be with us today by phone. Her name is Janet Folger Porter. I've called her Janet Folger forever, but she's added to her name for good reason. And she's an author and a speaker and the president of an organization called Faith to Action. She formerly served for 9 years as the legislative director for Ohio Right to Life. She's appeared on many different radio and news programs, including NBC's Today Show, CBS's This Morning, The O'Reilly Factor, and MSNBC. I don't understand that last one, but anyway, Janet, welcome to Family Talk.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson. Luann, it's great to be here.
You and I have worked together for a long time. Describe what Faith to Action is doing and what its mission is.
Sure. Many times we'd be in meetings, and there is a real heart in the pro-life movement, the pro-family movement, to work together. And that's really what birthed Faith to Action. It is right now the largest network of pro-family organizations linked together online so that no matter where you live, you can click on a state, find out who's there fighting the battles for life, liberty, and the family, who's on the front lines, and where the battle is the hottest where you live and for our nation as well.
Well, Janet, I have appreciated you and the things you've stood for. We fought a battle to try to save Terri Schiavo a number of years ago, and we didn't succeed with that, but we did the best we could. And I am sure there'll be many other battles we'll fight together in the future. And one of them is right now where you're spearheading a pro-life effort in Ohio. And let's start there. Tell us about the heartbeat bill.
The heartbeat bill, if I were to summarize it in a soundbite, simply says, if a heartbeat's detected, the baby's protected. You know, we've heard for how many years the bumper sticker that says abortion stops a beating heart? Well, with the heartbeat bill, a beating heart stops abortion. And that's the most exciting thing I've ever been a part of. Yes, we've worked together. We mentioned Terri Schiavo. We also stood and spoke at Mount Rushmore when we were on the brink of protecting life. But at that point, we were hundreds of thousands of votes away from our goal. We didn't meet our goal, unfortunately. But right now in Ohio, we are on the brink of protecting babies with beating hearts, and we are not hundreds of thousands of votes away. We are now 17 Senate votes away from actually restoring legal and substantial protection to children for the first time since 1973 in Roe versus Wade. It's really an amazing thing to realize that we have passed this out of the House. It had 53 co-sponsors on it when it passed the 99-member House, and so it came with a 54-44 vote to the Senate. And now, if 17 out of 33 senators say yes, and Governor John Kasich signs this into law, which we expect that he will, we will have the most protective pro-life law in the nation.
Oh, my. That is very exciting. What would this bill do to stop abortion? How does it work?
Well, it works in three ways. Number one, it requires that testing be done prior to the abortion so we find out if there is a heartbeat. Number two, it will inform women of their baby's heartbeat. And number three, it will legally protect babies with detectable heartbeats. Let me tell you just the one thing of just informing women. We have already found out, just from the publicity and the education of this bill, that there has already been a life saved, and it's not even passed through the Senate yet. A woman was a staffer in the State House, and she came forward to me and she said, "Janet, I describe myself as pro-choice, but I started reading the clips and the articles about the youngest to ever testify. We brought in babies who presented their case by ultrasound where the committee could see and hear their beating hearts." She saw that. She said, "When a friend asked me to drive them to the abortion facility, she said, I just can't do it." And as a result, there is now a baby alive that will soon be born just from the information about the baby's beating heart. And that's without the legal protection, which is very soon to come.
Is there a lot of opposition to this legislation? I mean, surely there are people out there that are frothing at the mouth over this one, because it really would represent a big step toward protecting life.
You know, it's interesting, and I wasn't going to talk about this, but our biggest opposition is actually coming from people who call themselves pro-life. You've got some in the pro-life community who say, "Oh, you guys are going too far." Then you got others in the pro-life community who say, "You're not going far enough."
Yeah.
And I'm in the position, I believe, that we're standing as rescuers. The building burning and the daycare centers burning down, and we're going to carry out as many kids as we can. We're going to go back and get the rest. But this bill will protect nearly every child. And according to Dr. Wilkie, the founder of the pro-life movement of National Right to Life, of Ohio Right to Life, Dr. Wilkie believes this will protect between 90% and 95% of children who would otherwise be aborted, which means that's about a school bus a day. Actually, more than a school bus of children a day. It's a graduating class of 500 every week. We're looking at 26,000 babies' lives who will be saved through this, and their beating hearts that will continue to beat.
Well, and that doesn't prevent you from going ahead and trying to save those that are being killed at conception or shortly thereafter, even before the heartbeat.
That's right.
You can still do what you need to do, but this is a big step in the right direction.
It's a monumental increment. And what's exciting is that this bill, even though it's in Ohio, it's going to affect the rest of the nation, much like when we passed the nation's first ban on partial birth abortion. There were more than 30 states that followed Ohio. And even though we got struck down at the Sixth Circuit, what happened was the Nebraska version of our Ohio law went up to the Supreme Court. That was turned down as well. But 7 years later, as you know, the Gonzales v. Carhart case, we saw for the first time since Roe versus Wade, a brutal method of abortion outlawed. What's great about this, however, is that that educated people, it saved some lives, it certainly moved people in the pro-life position, but what this bill will do is not only educate, but protect nearly every child from abortion. And as we saw in years prior, we're seeing states line up again. Georgia, I've talked to Georgia Right to Life, Texas, Oklahoma, Arizona through their Right to Life group, Kansas, Louisiana. Louisiana says, "We're going to pass it in a heartbeat." Yeah. North Dakota called me. They said, "We want a copy of that bill." And so this will affect, I believe, will be the first domino to fall. If we can draw the line so close to the earliest goal that we're shooting for, but where we want to be, we're actually going to see states follow as they have in the past. And I believe this is what's also exciting, that it's not going to be one of those states further down the road. That may be, but my opinion is that based on what we now know, that we've got the votes on the current Supreme Court to uphold the Ohio law. Here's what we found out. A guy by the name of Greg Roden, he's attorney, he's written many law review articles, including one that's called Overturning Roe in a Heartbeat. He found in the Gonzales 2007 case, in the Carhartt case, that after 34 years of calling this a potential life, a life with potential, now, they actually referred to the being in the womb as a living fetus from the point of detectable heartbeat, an undisputed finding of fact with the current Supreme Court. We've also heard from former clerks of Justice Kennedy who believe that he'll not only review a heartbeat law, but also vote to uphold it. A guy that's been coming back in the pro-life direction. In fact, what Dr. Wilkie told me, he says, if you read what Justice Kennedy, the swing vote, said in the last Supreme Court decision about abortion, the Gonzales v. Carhartt case, he said, it was so pro-life, I could have written it. So we have every indication that this current Supreme Court will actually uphold this most protective law.
Janet, you just mentioned that Gonzales versus Carhartt case, and I'm sure not everyone is familiar with this. Just briefly summarize that.
Sure. That's the 2007 Supreme Court case where partial birth abortion was finally banned.
Mm. Apparently, you think that there's a good chance that this bill will go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I believe that's the case. We certainly know that they've challenged everything we've done. I remember back when we passed our parental notice law in Ohio, that went up to the Supreme Court. Everything we've done, woman's right to know, fetal homicide, the 24-hour waiting period, the partial birth abortion ban, they've all gone to the court. And that's why we brought the team of attorneys, the best and the brightest. In fact, I remember Matt Staver told me the guy I'd recommend is the best in the country is Walter Weber from the ACLJ. And the Speaker of the House says, well, I believe the best there is a guy by the name of David Forte, a 30-year constitutional law professor. We brought them in and a whole bunch of others, the best and the brightest from all kinds of groups and right-to-life lawyers, lawyers for life. And this bill is drafted with the Supreme Court in mind. It is, I believe, designed to be the arrow in the heart of Roe versus Wade.
Janet, I hear a real skip in your voice. I hear optimism, and there have been times in the past where there was pessimism and discouragement and concern that this killing of babies was going to go on forever. You're really hopeful now, aren't you?
I am more hopeful than I have ever been, Dr. Dobson. I'm telling you, we are so close that I can see the end of abortion from here. That's how close we are.
Oh,
if 17 senators say yes, we will protect 95% of the babies who would otherwise be aborted, send this to the Supreme Court, line up the states to follow, and I'm telling you that this is something that, yeah, you said it early on. All the people who are battle-weary, everybody who's prayed to end abortion, everybody who has worked and distributed ballot cards and yard signs, all of that, I believe, is about to be answered. Everything we have prayed is happening. And I'll tell you, what we saw in the House as we introduced this thing with 50 co-sponsors, more than half the House of Representatives co-sponsored this bill when it was introduced. I've seen God part the sea. There's many times where you've seen the miraculous. I have seen where we had too many members on the committee. We had to replace one. We had to win back a swing vote. I'm just telling you, God has been in this from the beginning, and we are now, I'm just going to tell you, some inside scoop, it's not 17 votes. We are now a handful of votes away from providing protection to babies whose hearts are beating. And what's great about it is you don't just get to live to see it. You can actually be a part of this moment that we have prayed for 4 decades.
It's historic.
Let's go back to the election of November 2010 and what's happened since then. I have a summary of that in front of me, and you kind of made reference to it before, but pro-life legislation has passed in 23 states so far. Some of these measures are just incredible. You mentioned some of the states. Let me read them. Alabama, Arizona. Arizona has actually had 4 anti-abortion laws passed this year. Arkansas, Florida has had 5. Idaho, 2. Indiana, 2. Kansas, 4. Louisiana, 1. Mississippi. And we're going to talk about that in a moment because there's some exciting things happening in Mississippi. Missouri, 1. Montana, 1. Nebraska, 3. New Hampshire, 1. North Carolina, 2. North Dakota, 1. Ohio, 2. Oklahoma, 3. South Dakota, 1. Tennessee 1, Texas 3, Utah has had 3, Virginia 2, and Wisconsin. What an incredible thing. That's since last November.
That's exactly right.
Well, you know what pleases me, among other things? It pleases me that Dr. Jack Wilkie, who played such a key role in the early days of the pro-life movement, when it just seemed like the church didn't get it and was afraid to even talk about it. This is in the 70s. He has lived to see this happen. And I pray that he will get an opportunity to celebrate the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade.
You know, it's interesting. We have the exact same heart. When Dr. Wilkie came in and testified for this bill and was recognized before the entire Ohio General Assembly, he actually played the beating heart. I know you've got a recording of it there. He says, "Janet, this thing is so old, I don't know why the people, they act as if they've never heard it before." Mm-hmm. But as early as 6 weeks, I think we've got a recording at 6.5 weeks, of a baby's beating heart, it's something that is awakening people to say, yeah, we're not talking about a glob of cells or all the scare tactics. We're talking about protecting a baby with a beating heart that we can hear. And to oppose that, well, that's a pretty heartless condition. And that's the very thing I told Dr. Wilkie, is that you're going to live to see it, Doc. You're going to live to see it. In fact, that's why I've had the rally scheduled at September the 20th in the State House, where Dr. Wilkie is going to be the keynote speaker. We've invited Joe Scheidler and Wendy Wright from Concerned Women, Troy Newman from Operation Rescue, Dr. Rick Scarborough from Vision America, Jill Stanek, Dutch Sheets, Rick Joyner, a whole group of people. Jim Garlow's coming as well from the Renewing American Leadership. This is, if you've ever dreamed of bringing the killing to an end, do not miss this event. I believe you're going to be able to tell your children and your grandchildren that you were there just on the brink of when children were protected again. And Dr. Wilkie is going to be the guy at the helm. And I'm so grateful that he is around to see this.
Janet, tell us what the people of Ohio need to do to make this happen.
Well, I guess the first thing that people can do is go to the website heartbeatbill.com. Heartbeatbill.com. You know, I learned something from my friend Phyllis Schlafly, and I tell her all the time, my name's not hyphenated, but I put the Folger in there just so people return my calls sometimes. But she talked about when she was fighting for the ERA, and people were throwing pig's blood in the State House rotunda and sitting in, and they're angry. And meanwhile, she was baking up pies. And I said, you know what? We're going to do that. We're going to do things in a positive way, an uplifting way. And when you come to this rally, you're going to see the leaders in this movement. And again, we're going to see the fact that 17 people, when 17 senators say yes, babies with beating hearts are legally protected. And again, it's something you're not going to want to miss.
Janet, you don't mess around, do you? I mean, you go for it. I'm glad you're on our side.
Janet, we're going to recap all the details of that rally online at familytalk.org. I'm just curious, for the many listeners who are not in Ohio, what can they do? They're hearing your enthusiasm. They want to join in on these victories. What about the rest of the states?
Well, I would encourage, we're actually asking people to fast and pray. That's the secret weapon that the other side doesn't have. Mm. And that's what's moving mountains. We are taking down the giant. I remember when Wendy Wright came and testified, and she says, wow, this has been so difficult to get through the House, and yet it did. She said, it just reaffirms to me the importance of this bill and how significant it is. It really is going to accomplish what it set out to do, I believe. And what I would encourage, fast and pray. And I would encourage you to actually come. You remember, Dr. Dobson, people came from all over the country when we gathered in South Dakota. Again, we were a ways away from our goal there, but just the opportunity, just the hope of actually providing legal protection to babies was something that doesn't just affect one state. It affects everybody. And so there are people I know that are coming in. In fact, I talked to Pastor Jim Garlow, Skyline Church in San Diego. He says, Jan, I'm going to hop on a red eye and I'm coming to your event. I don't want to miss what God is doing in Ohio. People are being drawn because of what God is doing here. Mm. The motto of the state, by the way, which is one I take all over wherever I go, is this: it's with God all things are possible. That's the state of Ohio motto, and we're going to live by it.
Mm. You know, Janet, we can fast and pray for what's going on in Ohio, but people can also get involved in the struggle, in the fight for legislation in every state in the country, because there is a movement here that can't be suppressed, especially if the people weigh in on it.
In fact, the way that they can find out what's pending in their state is to go to F2A.org, the Faith2Action.org website, and you can click on your state. There's a nation there. Click. If you live in Texas, click there. If you live in Oklahoma, Nebraska, click it and see just what's happening in your state and how you can join and be a part of it.
And we will link to that as well, Janet. Doctor, I just want to remind everyone, this is not a political issue. This is a moral issue that every Christian should be concerned about. I have scriptures in front of me. I'm looking at Psalm 82, 3 and 4. Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Get this. Rescue the weak and needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. There is a moral obligation that I have as a Christian woman to defend the rights of the unborn.
Well, this is, I think, the profound moral issue of our time. Mm-hmm. This is the defining issue. This is life. This is in the Constitution. You know, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, including
life, liberty,
and
prerequisite
liberty,
and to every other
pursuit
right.
Pursuit of happiness.
My goodness.
So the first one in the Constitution, the first thing mentioned is life, and it's all through the Scripture as well. Mm. It's just amazing how long it's taken for the people of faith and people with a deep moral commitment to begin to understand what's at stake here. Mm-hmm. We're killing human beings. Mm. We have to stop it. And Janet, again, you've been on the front lines of that battle, and I appreciate you. Now, we've got very little time left, but I want to talk about the state of Mississippi, which I mentioned a few minutes ago. There is another initiative going on there that I understand this fall, the people of that state are going to have the opportunity to define in their state constitution that life begins at conception. Mm. And I do hope the people of Mississippi will rise up and take a stand for life in November of this year, 2011. Mm. And I'm pleased to hear that 100,000 signatures were able to be collected to get it on the ballot in the first place. And we need people all over the country to stand up for life in the way the people of Mississippi have done.
It's indicative of the movement you've just described, Doctor.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I hope that our listeners catch the enthusiasm of what's going on and will let their voices be heard not only in November this year, but certainly in 2012. Blessings to you, Janet. We're going to have to go.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Please come by and see us. You are a great lady.
Well, the feeling is mutual, and I just want to leave with the fact that babies with beating hearts are about to be protected, and Roe versus Wade is about to come crashing down. Heartbeatbill.com will show you how you can be a part of making history, what we've prayed for all these years.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to give you an assignment. When that bill passes, you get on the phone and call me, okay?
I will definitely do that.
I want to be the first person you tell about it.
Okay. Right after, my husband will be there. I'll call you first.
All right. Okay, blessings to you.
Thank you.
And again, we'll have all the links you need to find out about Janet's organization, Faith to Action, as well as the effort in Ohio and Mississippi to protect unborn life at familytalk.org.
And Luann, I hope our listeners will tell their friends what we talked about today. You know, my guess is that they could use a little good news themselves. And what better news is there than the progress we're making to help defend those little babies?
That is for sure. It's a great idea, Doctor. Listeners can send people to a link to our broadcast page or always request a complimentary CD of this program at familytalk.org.
And one other thing, it's very important for me to say that every time we talk about the issue of the sanctity of human life, we know full well that there are many of our listeners who may have already made the choice to abort a baby. Mm. I think of the women out there who felt like they absolutely had no choice and they had no place to turn. Know that Jesus loves you and there is no sin that he can't forgive. And secondly, please get in contact with us because we know some folks who can help you.
And we want to share that with you. Go to familytalk.org or call us. We can help connect you to a database of crisis pregnancy centers that can help you. We can even refer you to a counselor in your area if you'd like. Again, familytalk.org or the number 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. Enter that in your cell phone right now. You never know when you'll want to give us a call. Thanks for listening today, and we hope you'll spend time with us again tomorrow.
Before we go, Luann, just a few minutes ago, we all heard our guest, Janet Porter, make reference to a recording that we have of a 6.5-week-old baby in the womb. I believe that a very fitting way to close this Family Talk program today would be with the sound of life.